Can you believe that the last time we spoke to epidemiologist Dr. Chelsea Shover was in April? She joins the podcast again to answer more of the questions that you guys submitted to me about COVID-19. And this episode's themes are centered around misinformation and how our lives are changing the further that we get into the pandemic. We talk about that LA Times article that came out about what to do if your public restrooms are closed and you're on a road trip. Yeah, that one went viral this week, so we're going to definitely talk about that. We're going to talk about hydroxychloroquine, and we're also going to talk about the CDC and the White House. What is going on there, and why is Florida pausing their coronavirus testing? You guys, we're getting to the bottom of it with Dr. Chelsea Shover.
A lot of people are just having a lot of questions these days about the information. That's kind of like the reoccurring theme that I've been experiencing. And so someone wants to know, so why is coronavirus data going directly to the White House? And what is the impact of that? What does that even mean?
Yeah. So I will start by saying, when I heard that they were changing the way the data was going, that wasn't going to the CDC, it was instead going to the Department of Health and Human Services, which is the parent organization of the CDC, but that, you know, that it would be not going just directly to the CDC as normal. That is really concerning. I can think of a lot of nefarious reasons to do that. I can't think of a good reason to do that. I know, you know, because I'm involved in like epi Twitter stuff, I know that like a lot of other epidemiologists are concerned about it. It's definitely troubling. I don't know what the stated reason is. I mean, what I'm specifically concerned about around it is, like, you know, the White House has certainly made statements along the lines of, like, you know, if we around testing, about how testing identifies cases, which is of course true, like that's why you do testing, and like, so yeah, I mean, that's really concerning. I haven't seen an example of something like that happening before. There have been a lot of irregularities in what the CDC has been able to do and has done, and the communication around it that, are really troubling. Yeah, I don't know. I don't really have anything like encouraging to say about it.
It just seems like bad news.
Yeah. I cannot see anything good coming from it.
Yeah. It definitely alarmed me. And speaking of, I guess, the topic of false information, a lot of people are talking about the fact that potentially hospitals reporting who actually has COVID-19 might not be accurate because they get some sort of benefit or they get more money if they have COVID-19 cases. I'm not exactly sure of the specifics there, but it is a question that's coming up.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of that's a thing that, you know, I've heard from like family members who are like a little bit more like conspiracy minded, have like implied that or suggested that to me. I don't see any evidence that that's happening. And it's also confusing to me how that would actually be an effective way to make money. I think one thing that is confusing for people that is happening is because of the way deaths are reported, you know, So I personally have like looked at like thousands of death certificates in the last couple months. That's the other thing I was up to before I got my new job. I was like reviewing death records, and you know, a lot of jurisdictions will list multiple causes. And so they'll have like a main cause and then contributory causes. And sometimes the list can include a lot of things that, like, if you just thought on first glance, like maybe these aren't actually related. So if someone dies for a different reason but tests positive for COVID or tested positive within a certain number of days of entering the hospital, then there are legal requirements around reporting it as a COVID-related death, even though it's also reported as whatever the other cause was. So if someone, you know, so if the real cause of death was something else, but like they happen to be COVID positive within a certain amount of time, that'll be on the death certificate most of the time. As far as like hospitals for cases, I don't think there's any merit to that. I mean, one thing that could be confusing people too is that hospitals kind of have to treat everyone who comes in like they might have COVID, right? Like they have to wear protective equipment as if someone does, because you don't know. And additionally, the tests aren't particularly accurate for a lot of reasons. The diagnostic tests, like you have to like the long nose swab that I guess probably a lot more people are familiar with now than say in April. Probably more people have gotten one. You know, it has to, in order for you to test positive, you have to like one, have COVID, of course, but like two, you have to be actively shedding virus. So there's like a time window where that's more likely. It's kind of hard to collect. And so like if the person collecting it makes a mistake, or if you're doing self-collection, like you're probably not poking it back far enough. So hospitals do have to really act like everyone has COVID until, you know, until proven otherwise. So I think that's probably part of where that comes from. And then, you know, the other thing is like, it is also very true that we don't know all of the effects that COVID has. And so when you have to report a death as COVID related, like a lot of times, like for instance, like this is, we see this with like pregnancy related deaths also. So like the death of a person who gives birth within a certain amount of time after giving birth, even if it's not related from that, still gets reported as a pregnancy or postpartum related death. And there's all kinds of reasons for that. And with COVID, it's like, well, we don't know yet what all the long-term things are. So we don't have a cutoff where we can say, oh, if it happens after 3 weeks, it's not related.
Right.
Or if it's like a different lung thing, or if it's a different organ, or if it's a cardiac thing, like we don't know enough yet to say that yes or no. And so we kind of have to err on the side of assuming that people do have it. But yeah, I don't think anyone's making money off of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting because like what you just said with the long-term side effects or consequences of getting COVID. I have a friend who tested positive for it. He didn't know that he had it and then ended up having some blood clot issues. Mm-hmm. Are we seeing, like, what are some of the long-term side effects-ish that are kind of emerging, even though it's really too soon to have a good picture of that?
Is there anything
looking out for if they've had COVID?
I mean, I think short answer is yes, there are things to look out for. Longer answer is, blood. I mean, I don't know as far as like on it. My work is mostly focused on like figuring out how to get tests to people effectively and like find out areas to go do testing. So I haven't kept up, especially in the last month, as I've been just doing this all the time, I haven't kept up as much about the real like medical literature about how common long-term, I mean, it's not long-term, we're all talking about like within a few months, but how common different consequences are. But yeah, blood clots are one of them. There's emerging evidence around cardiac problems. There are a lot of others. I don't know. As an epidemiologist, I want to be able to say like, oh, this percentage of people have this or that, but I just don't know. And I know people are working on studying that, and the good answers are probably out there. I just have not read them. But yeah, blood clots for sure.
To hear the rest of this episode, please head on over to patreon.com/Erin Darling. There is a link in the episode description where you can go. Everyone that supports me there gets access to extra bonus episodes and essays and digital photo sets and bonus things related to the podcast. So thank you guys so much for supporting the podcast there. And please head on over to hear all 40 minutes of this episode. Thank you, Dr. Chelsea Shover, for joining us. And thank you to everyone that listens. Please share this with someone who could use the information and get the rest of it on my Patreon. Thank you so much. See you next time.